Hello, everybody, again. Welcome to the USA Rugby Happy Hour Live. If you get a chance, go ahead and share with your friends and family. Get them involved in these conversations. Great chance to talk to guys and our guests tonight. I am Bill Baker of Eagles Overseas, host of the Eagle-Eyed Rugby Podcast, interviewing USA Eagles and more around the globe. And here to introduce himself is my co-host, John Fitzpatrick.
Good evening, everyone, and thanks, Bill. As Bill mentioned, my name is John from Rugby Morning. And our tagline is Rugby Fan Made Easy. And what we do is we curate some of the top rugby news from around the world, and we put a little American rugby point of view on it, and we serve it up in a newsletter 6 days a week, Monday morning through Saturday morning. And you can catch us online and on our socials at Rugby Morning. Bill, back to you.
Yeah, and so I'm going to go right back to you here in a second, John. Before we get into our first guest tonight, let's do a quick recap of the latest in USA Rugby news.
Sure. Let's start in Major League Rugby. This broke this morning or early this afternoon. Some player suspension news. The latest, Hamish Dickey's suspended by the LA Giltinis for violating the team's personal conduct policy. He will miss one game, so that'll be next week's game since the Giltinis are on a bye, and he's eligible to return on May 8th. Now, this comes on the heels of the 42-year-old wonder Orani Ayi, who was suspended for 3 weeks. So when LA returns next week, does that mean we will eventually see the return of Matt Gitto? I don't know. We'll see. I'm interested to find out, but we'll have to wait another week for that. And then last bit of news for me before I send it back over to Bill. The World Rugby released the July window, the test series, the match officials. USA set to face the French Barbarians July 2nd. Very excited about that. The location is to be announced, but perhaps Nick may know some news that he could potentially share with us. I'm hearing potentially Houston. I don't know. We'll see. But I think that's fantastic news as the Eagles prepare for a very important two-leg series, the Rugby World Cup qualifiers against Chile, July 9th and July 16th. Bill, over to you.
Yeah, and in Eagles Overseas news, this weekend is a big match in the Premier 15's Alliance Cup Finals. Exeter Chiefs versus Harlequins. We're talking a lot of USA Women's Eagles involved here. Cantona, Zachary, Detevo, Foster, just to name a few for the Exeter Chiefs. Against the Harlequins with Jenny Cronish. The great thing about this match, it is live streamed on Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on Premier15s.com for free. Also in the Premiership, we have Greg Peterson's out injured. He came up short, taken out of the match shortly before the end of the half in the Challenge Cup match against Glasgow last weekend. And of course, per Rugby Ways, there's no further information yet on the extent of his injury. The Falcons do sit in second place in Pool A, 2 points behind Mikey Sassani's Toulon. Also in Premiership news, Saracens face Exeter Chiefs this weekend. Campelli Pifoletti and Ruben De Haas have seen some minutes recently. Hopefully we see them both in this match. That game is live at 10 a.m. on Sunday on Peacock TV for free. Well, not free. It's like $6 a month. But with that said, let's move on to our first guest of the night. This man, he's a man who's gone from beating up on college kids on the hollow grounds of Twickenham to the concrete jungle of Hoboken. Please, everyone, a round of applause for Nick Savetta. Nick, thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Thanks for having me up. Hopefully you can hear me all right.
We can. You sound great. Yeah, it's perfect. I mentioned that the Twickenham match, you know, I we're going to kick things off with you, Nick, with about the varsity match. I think it's a really cool thing, and I don't think a lot of people here really know the significance of that match. So can you just kind of paint a picture, like, what is the varsity match?
Varsity match is an annual rugby match between Oxford and Cambridge. And it's played typically for the last 100 years, it's been played at Twickenham, with the exception of last year, where it was played at Welford Road, where Leicester Tigers play. It's one of the oldest rivalries in team sports. I think I want to say that this year was the 154th edition of the varsity match. So there's a lot of storied history. And some would say as well that the popularity of the match over the last 20 years is as kind of changed as the players, you know, in the 90s, it used to be that, you know, when you finished your rugby career, because you weren't a professional rugby player, you would just go to Oxford or Cambridge and do, you know, 1 year degree in land economy or something. Mm-hmm. fairly easy. And the varsity match would be basically the top sort of 30 rugby players in the UK playing against each other, and it would host a crowd of 80,000 people. But that's sort of changed, and I think I think it's a much more interesting experience now, right, where you have this sort of really interesting mix of you know, 18 and 19 year old kids who are good rugby players as well, and
yeah,
you know, some old Americans. Like, no, I'm not including myself in that, like Eric Fry and Andrew Giratala. And it's just a really cool environment. People from all different parts of the world, all different walks of life, especially amongst the postgraduate community. Mm-hmm. And in no other environment really are you only ever preparing for one game, right? So on the inside of the environment, you play 10 or 15 games, none of which mean anything at all. Everything's just done in the context of going to Twickenham and beating the Tabs. And it doesn't matter what that game looks like, as long as you get it done, people only remember that you won. So happy I was able to do that.
Now, you know, Cambridge has their version of this, of the blue. You know, I spoke with Tim Stevens and Duncan Bennett, who you know at Oxford. I still don't understand how you're in a blue, because this is not your first varsity match. So I don't understand. Can you tell us about that also?
So it is my first varsity match. Last year, the match was played on the same day that the U.S. played England.
I
made the decision. Just coming back from an injury, a couple of moving parts. I was in the U.S. playing for Rooney, and I knew I probably couldn't give Oxford its due time to prepare for the varsity match. And obviously, there was, you know, our first test match since the Rugby World Cup. So
yeah,
I was very keen to get back involved with the U.S. So I missed out last year.
Of course.
But getting a blue, it actually – kind of a weird thing. It varies by the sport you play. So in rugby, the only way you can get a blue, it's the same as Cambridge, I believe, is if you take the field at Twickenham on the day of the varsity match, you can get a blue. And then in other sports, it can be, you know, for contributions to the team off the field. It can be you've thrown a certain distance in the shot put, or there's sports where I think only one or two people can earn a blue per year. So mm-hmm. it's... it kind of depends on your sport.
Nick, it's got to be quite an honor to get a blue, as you mentioned. And there's probably I think you can probably count on two hands, maybe a little more, the number of Americans that have played in that match. One, of course, was your Eagles teammate Eric Fry, who we saw a couple of the highlights there. He came to your defense in a play. What happened? What happened there, man?
I got my face stepped on. Quite a brutal incident.
Yeah, we saw.
The best part about the replay for me is Eric just going after this poor. I'm not going to say this poor kid because he stepped on my face, but this young kid who decided to take it upon himself to remove himself from the game through an incredibly stupid action. God, I mean, the experience with playing with Eric, the guy who I've known for such a long time now, first played with him in 2010, I think, with the All-Americans when he was a second row and he was skippering the All-Americans when we played in the UK. It's just incredible to have him around and to be studying with him. And he's basically my neighbor, lives about 500 yards away. That was great to play in his what could be his last ever game of rugby as well, and have him absolutely just demolish the Cambridge scrum.
Yeah.
Like it was a very, very cool experience. Very cool experience, and he's an absolute legend, and it's been an absolute pleasure to play with him.
He is absolute legend, and you kind of answered my next question, and that was, what's Eric been up to? Are we going to hear from Eric again potentially on the field?
I'll let Eric answer that question. Eric is currently absolutely destroying the Oxford MBA and having a very good time. Rugby-wise, I'm not sure what he's thinking. He seems pretty content with where he's at. I think he feels that the varsity – listen, I don't want to answer a question for him. But
sure.
So I'll leave it at that, I guess.
Well, Nick, if you can convince him to come on next week, then that'll work.
He's still like – you still see him and you're like, holy shit, this guy's every bit an international prop. Because he's just, you know, always in fantastic shape. But, yeah.
So, Nick, moving on, let's talk MLR, Rugby New York. You know, how has your transition back been back in the club? Are you crashing on Dylan Foss's floor so it's a shorter commute?
So it's transition's been good. I came in last week. We had a bye week, which kind of allowed me to make a pretty soft landing because there wasn't any organized training going on. So I had the week to reorient myself after coming over and get into the gym and get some work done. But yeah, I'm staying in Jersey City in some apartments that the team has next to where we train, which is pretty convenient. About an hour and a half from where I grew up. And yeah, it's been good. I mean, it's great. Like playing rugby here is it's something that I really value, playing for my home city and with guys like Dylan and Nate and, you know, some of the guys from last year as well, and for coaches that I really respect. I think like, yeah, it's I get a lot out of playing here, and I really love the organization. So as much as I probably was a bit morose leaving Oxford after such an amazing experience in the varsity match, I'm certainly very excited about the next 10 weeks.
Yeah, Nick, let's talk about those next 10 weeks, starting with the match this weekend against New England. So you're joining a squad that just came off the bye week after probably a pretty surprising, right, result, 43-0 loss to L.A. I got to imagine the bye week probably came at a pretty good time for the team, considering it was a pretty late into the season to have a bye.
Yeah, you know, I think they went 9 games on the bounce, which I'm not sure any other team had to do because they had a bye first week of the season. So that result, obviously, we talked about it, reviewed it. Like, I think it's pretty aberrant. Like, I don't. It doesn't represent the character of this team and our abilities. I firmly believe we have a team out that's built to win championships. And yeah, I think at the end of a 9-week block, you know, there's no excuses for performances of that nature, I guess. But I wasn't there, so I don't really know what to say. But besides, you know, since I've been involved in the team, the mindset is positive, and it's like really, really confident. And that's I think a really good sign for the mm-hmm. for the next 10 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, as a professional, after, you know, a loss like that, you know, what do the guys say to each other in the locker room? Is it just, hey, let's move beyond this, we know we're a good squad, or like what can you take away from a game like that?
Well, I can't speak for what happened exactly after that game, so I wasn't there. But I've been on the side of a fair few lopsided losses in my time, and yeah, it's you know, you just want to use them as much as you can as learning experiences. And I think it's a real curse as an athlete to really dwell on something that happens to you that's negative, because it definitely doesn't help performance, right? So if you look at it as a learning experience and you take a few things out of it, and then you move on and try to build towards what's coming next, because, you know, the season doesn't stop, and, you know, there's games to win, things to accomplish, right? So you can only you should really it's something that you have to get over very quickly, and I think that's the skill of a good team, is, you know, every team experiences losses they don't expect and performances they're unhappy with, but a good team rebounds very quickly.
And, you know, Nick, you weren't there for the first matchup with the Free Jacks, but is there anything specifically you've been working on, the team's been working on going into this match, since it is the second matchup with the Free Jacks? And by the way, don't worry, there's not many people from the Free Jacks listening in.
I thought I saw Tom Kindley on there, didn't I? anything specifically? We're working on our rugby, and we plan to play good rugby on Sunday. And we're probably going to have 15 guys in the field for hopefully all 80 minutes of the game.
All right, that's it. Thanks, everybody. That was a great interview.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen, this is it's Free Jacks are playing really well at the moment. They're a good team. They're a very physical team. I think we have some areas that we think we can attack, and just like they'll look at us and say, we think we can attack these areas. I think I'm just going to continue to give you this shitty political answer. So that's it.
Let's go to our first listener. Jaden, how you doing, man?
Pretty good. How about you?
Great.
So, yeah, just to shift gears a little bit towards the Eagles, you know, big set of matches coming up against Chile. They had an upset victory over Canada last year. How do you think the Eagles match up? I know that Chile is doing a lot of interesting things down there. And what do you expect to see this summer?
Well, frankly, I expect it to be an all-out war. I think they're some of the most important games I'll ever play in. I think for Chileans, they're looking at it the same way. This is their chance to qualify for their first World Cup. So there's nothing we can do. We cannot take them lightly. They are a good rugby team. And we need to prepare for them with the utmost caution and with the utmost professionalism, I think, in order to make sure we get the job done. So, yeah, it's going to be an absolute war. It's going to be great rugby to watch. And I think, you know, we have the benefit of coming off of a season where guys should be at their absolute best fitness-wise. And we have some time together that we'll spend together during the MLR season, preparing in a regulation nine camp, and then immediately after the season we'll be together working towards these games. We also benefit from this newly announced warm-up match, which is great. So I mean, any rugby we can play as a group before then will be hugely helpful. So yeah, I think it's a massive matches for me personally, for the team, yeah, for USA Rugby. So I mean, I'm very excited. I hope to be picked. I mean, I've been out of the professional rugby for a few months now, so hopefully get back, both feet. What did they say? Both feet running, something like that. Just get back and hit the ground running. That's what I meant to say. Yeah, go from there.
I heard rumors that Gary's looking for Eric Fry to play lock in this.
listen, man, he's. He could do a job.
He can. I miss him. I do. I miss him personally. But all right, moving on. Bill, thanks for coming up.
Yeah, thanks, guys. And thanks, Nick, for giving up some time for this. Nick, I know, you know, you're really involved with concussion brain injury awareness. And I know, you know, I've been able to follow a little bit of the work you've done overseas and really admire that from you. I'm interested in your opinion on the 20-minute red card, and you know, a lot of the framework coming out of World Rugby obviously was to try to lower tackle height and, you know, protect players. But as somebody who plays the game at the highest level, you know, even this past weekend we saw so many red cards, so many yellow cards for high tackles, and you know, World Rugby and the Premiership. And I'm just curious on your take on the role of the 20-minute red card and how you feel like we start to protect these players, because it feels like the tackle framework isn't preventing high tackles. So I'm just interested in your thoughts as a player.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. That's a really good question. That's something that Player Council of the International Rugby Players Association is discussing this week and last week. So it's like it's very much the topic of the day. And my personal opinion, don't know if I have a fully formed personal opinion yet, but to me, it seems like you don't want to devalue foul play, right? So, I mean, there has to be, a red card is a severe punishment for what should be a severe crime. And that there's probably room for something like an orange card, where something, a play can be adjudged to be dangerous enough to remove the player from the field, but maybe it was simply accidental, like, or potentially reckless and not dangerous. You know, like there's different levels of things that happen on a rugby field and contact and for high balls and the occasional high tackle that is somewhat unavoidable that leads to a red. So there's probably room for some sort of card in between that results in a 20-minute sanction and the ability to replace the player with a different player off the bench after those 20 minutes. I think that could be an interesting solution. Obviously, that presents its own challenges, but I think that there's certainly, you know, the severity of a red card is important, I think, to keep in a game of rugby. And I think to going on from that, like games that do have a red card in them end up being very entertaining games, whether that's because of some sort of implicit bias from the referee to try to keep it close after doling out such a severe punishment, or because it gives the team who received the red card a real kick in the butt to start performing better. So that's, I guess, a long answer to your question, but I hope that's insightful.
Yeah, for sure. I guess I just really wanted to know your, you know, the idea of trying to legislate it out of the game with a red card feels like it's not working as quickly as World Rugby or some of us would like to see, right? I mean, you'd like red cards to change behavior, yet we're still continuing to see red cards given out.
Oh, and, well, that's a different question, right? Like, getting head contact out of the game of rugby is very, very difficult. You know, I think, you know, when I was playing in the championship, they trialed new tackle laws, and it actually that required, you know, height to be below, I think, the nipple area instead of the shoulder area. And that led to an increase in concussion incidents.
Right.
And that was scrapped after, I think, four rounds. So as far as, you know, play on the field goes, I mean, there's some interesting thoughts out there about reducing the number of substitutions, with the argument that fresh players coming on at 60 minutes are moving quicker and are more aware than tired players. So they're more prone to, well, tired players are more prone to injury in those situations, maybe more prone to concussion, sort of to head injuries as well. But it's a sticky problem. I mean, it is a collision sport. It's a violent collision sport, and, you know, players are only getting faster and stronger. So at the risk of saying something like, you know, we need to, you know, restrict the weight of players who play rugby, you know, and the size of them, I don't know exactly what you can do, you know, between the lines in those 80 minutes to really reduce it beyond having severe punishments in place for those that don't get it right. And trust me, as a tall player, it's something I think about quite a lot, because it's very difficult to drop your body height every single tackle and make sure you're doing everything properly.
Nick, switching back a little bit, and I guess maybe kind of sticking with MLR here, and chatting with some of your teammates, perhaps on that you play with on Oxford, or, you know, other players that you may part of your network overseas, are they talking about MLR? Are they forming opinions on the league? You know, what have you heard, good or bad, that you can share with us?
Everyone loves the MLR overseas. Everyone's very curious about it. I think on the social handles for MLR and the Rugby Network are some among the most followed handles in terms of, like, networks in rugby now. I think the rugby community overseas is very much in tune with it, I think, and very curious about it. And players that I speak to are always very interested in coming over and trying their hand. I think a lot of them have this idea that they're going to make millions and millions of dollars playing in the US. So that's the first thing you have to dispel, is that, you know, it's not the NFL, nor will it be the NFL anytime soon. But it's definitely in the cultural consciousness of the overseas rugby community. But again, like, I think the community that we really want is the non-rugby community in the US. So the outreach to them has to be, is I think, of much more importance. And I think that is growing, but that's harder to measure.
Wait, am I the only one making $1 million doing rugby stuff? I don't know. So Nick, talking about real quick about new teammates. So New York also signed the All Blacks winger, Wasaki Naholo. Big dude, great credentials. You know, has he joined up with the club yet?
Yeah, he's in New York. He's in New York training with us.
Now, have you heard his theme song?
Will you sing it if I say no?
Of course he will. You have to.
Well, I mean, like the White Stripes Seven Nation Army version of his song. You know, what's it? Wasake no holo.
I hadn't heard that, but now I have heard it,
and
I can't unhear it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, to make things worse, I think we need to come up with a music version for your stuff. You know, better than, you know, the usual chant in stadiums like Nick's Veta. All right, not that.
I don't know if I've ever heard a Nick's Veta chant.
Start one. I think what needs to happen is the New York crowd in sync needs to sing Elton John's "Hold Me Close Now." Better.
Right. Why don't you suggest that to the RNY fan club and see how that see if they can put together a chorus.
We'll work on it.
Bill, okay. That's the best idea you've come up with in the last few times we've done this. That's fantastic.
Thank you. I've been working on it forever. So listen, we're only here for we got Nick for a couple more minutes. Before we lose Nick, I definitely want to bring up our next listener, Peter. How are you?
Hi guys. Hi Nick. Good to have you back, man.
Hi Peter.
Listen, I guess a last question from my side. Saying it was Bill that was that singing was really hard to listen to, my friend.
Thank you.
Nick, yes, on a more serious side, just a question. More towards the Eagles side of things. Obviously, you mentioned some preparation you guys are looking at and matches, etc. Is there a different? Do you think there's a different approach in playing style? A different approach in team culture? Are there going to be some changes that you anticipate? We've watched the Eagles now for a few years, and I think we all agree that the last year or so was disappointing. Do you think there's going to be some changes, or do you expect some? Obviously, I think you guys are going to start fresh and all going to be motivated. But do you anticipate something different?
That's probably a better question for Gary. I mean, I understand the last year has been frustrating. In the broader context, it's tough. It was a tough year for us as Eagles. I think as players, we really need to hold ourselves to account and take responsibility for how we develop team values, how we develop our ethos going into this summer. I think. God, I know speaking to my teammates just how excited we are to get it back on track and to get together again and get to work, right? You know, I speak to these guys all the time and we're in constant contact with Gary and Hugh and Scott as well, new coaching staff. So I'm very optimistic and I'm really excited for the coming months I think we have every ability to be successful this summer. And I don't want to say get back to winning ways, you know, cause that's I think there's a lot of work cut out for us ahead of us, but we have the group, we have the experience, we have the players, the quality of players, we have the quality of coaches to get it done. So thank you for the tough question, Mr. DeHaas.
Thank you, Peter. That was great. up against Nick's contracted time. So, we need to let him go here. So, Nick Civetta, thank you so much for joining us this last 30 minutes. It's been a blast. Good luck the rest of the Major League season. We're getting involved in it as well. Good luck this summer. I hope to catch up with you again soon.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, guys, for having me. I really appreciate it. It's good fun.
Thanks, Nick. Cheers.
Cheers.